Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Been a couple of months. It was warm when we last spoke. We're going to get those heat waves in October, end of September, and now it is the really dark depths of December with the cold. But we're back for episode 4. Me and Spencer tonight. Pete's tucked up with flu, apparently, isn't he? Are you going to do an
We're braving the freezing cold temperatures down at Woodside.
Yeah, if you hear a bit of echo, we normally sit in the press box upstairs, but the press box is like an ice box right now. So I think we're going to be sitting in the bar for the most of it tonight, I think. Anyway, Spencer, it's been an eventful couple of months, hasn't it?
Yeah, you say that, yeah. We've been on a slight roller coaster of results.
Well, we look at it. Since we've last recorded, we've played 12, we've lost 4. We've drawn 3 and won 5, so it's a roller coaster, but it's a pretty decent like thing, and we're still sitting right now in 6th, which isn't bad at all.
Yeah, take that all day long, you know. Just said from the start of the season, you know, from where we were in the table and where we continue to be, we'll take that as long as the season goes on. But you know, apart from those at the very top who are just running away, especially Ipswich Fleet, if we can mention them already. But you know, I think beyond that, it's all, you know, if you've only got to look at the table, it's quite tight from us downwards for a few.
We're talking about running away with things, and you know, they're doing very well at the top of the table. You've got to look at the women's team, sitting pretty in second right now, 2 games in hand, second round, first time ever in the FA Cup, narrowly losing to McFranchise up in Milton Keynes.
Franchise FC.
Not really a bad state of affairs for the women's team. Look, very positive, you know, possibly going into Christmas at top of the table.
Yeah, things going fantastic on that side, and really looking forward to sit down to talk with John and Emily.
Well, shall we talk to them right now? Let's speak to John first. We always get his thoughts, and you know, eventful couple of months, as we said, for the women's team, and you know, an FA Cup, a narrow FA Cup exit. But we'll speak to John, see how he took that.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
John, thanks for joining us. It's been a couple of months, and a couple of eventful months, hasn't it, for you?
Yeah.
And for you and the ladies. I mean, let's just say you at the moment you're second with 2 games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Chance to go top. Hopefully over Millwall, because as a Charlton fan, that'd be very good. historic first time in the second round of the FA Cup.
It's
so close to getting to the third.
Yeah.
How are you? Happy? Happy with how the last couple of months have gone?
Yeah, you know, we performed pretty damn well, scored quite a few goals. You know, you always want more from your players, but they've really been sort of performing well, doing what we asked them to do. So, you know, really kicked on as the season's progressed. The players and the performances have got better.
Yeah, and you know, the cup run as well. Yeah. You know, you gotta be so proud. But then as well, yeah, so frustrating the way it ended in the end.
Yeah, definitely. The
we had a Qatar amount of injury time, didn't we?
Well, do you know what? I watched the game back, and we were 2-1 up, and the opposition was shouting, "How long left, ref? How long left, ref?" And they said something like 8 minutes. But we played a lot more than 8 minutes. So, yeah, that was a bit disappointing. But, you know, we played well. The cup run was great. We put in some good, excellent performances. Every one of them seemed to be away. We seemed to be away all the time. And, yes, MK Dons were bright. Took us about 10 minutes to actually get used to the pace. But then we were as equal to them. You know, any probably spectator coming along would have thought it was a, you know, a league game against two teams in the same league.
What do you think it was that the girls didn't get over the line just? Do you think they just let their, just took their eye off the ball for 5 minutes or so, or like were because I wasn't at the game, or were MK just like really pushing? Just
they were pushing, but they were pushing differently. They tried to outplay us in the first half, but they couldn't play through us, and we were able to be really quick when we won the ball, got the ball forward to under good control. Created sort of two or three one-on-ones really early in the game. In the second half, we weren't under as much pressure as it looked like. They ended up going long because they couldn't play through us. So and we dealt with most of that. And then the free kick, the girl hit it. She must have hit it right across the ball, and it sort of ducked to the side, went past Lauren. And the other one, you know, it was just a good pass, but we were in quite good shape, to be honest. So it was a little bit more challenging to take because of that.
And some great support down here for the Sutton home game as well. Hey, James.
Yes. That was us making all the noise.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, sorry.
It was.
Sorry that these two hooligans came along with Big Z, but I hope to be honest, it was quite nice to see all the girls looking back. Why are they singing a song?
And you got a clap at the end of the game as well. They came over to see you.
If only it had been a less inconvenient time for Milton Keynes, we would have been up there, wouldn't we? But none of us, I couldn't make it because I was going away. Yeah, and you could make it.
We'd have brought the drum.
Yeah, we'd have brought the drum even. So next year, John, next year,
it was a long old trip.
It was an amazing achievement. It was. You know, and I guess it just shows how far the club have come in the past season.
Yeah, you know, to compete with a team that's two divisions above and not, you know, just sit in and try and counter, just sit in and try and, you know, stop the onslaught. That wasn't the case. You know, we were matching them. We were as physical as them. We were as sharp as them. We created opportunities. So for us to do that just shows how good the players played, but also their mentality, because they had to play like that all the way through the game, and we haven't had to do that in all the games we played.
Talking about mentality and how well the players have played, I mean, in that Sutton United game, one of the standout performers was Ella Newman, former Rebel now.
Yeah.
As I messaged you on text, you know, I think that's probably quite a while. That's the first time a player's left Worthing to go a couple of steps higher. Yeah. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. So, you know, we've said all along that if players come here, we want to help work with them. You know, if they perform well for us, if they have the great attitude and want to develop their game, then there's no problem them moving up. You know, moving sideways or whatever, that would be a problem. Mm. But if players are looking to progress up, then we want to make sure that they know this is a good platform for them. As long as they perform well and do the business here, other teams should be able to look at them. And then hopefully that acts as a really good sort of recognition for other players thinking, well, that might be a good place to go. So you can't always go on that trajectory up. You have to drop down to come up again.
Little bit of a question, just how does it work with, like, you know, obviously I don't know if it's the same in National South, but like you've got a 7-day approach and everything like that. Is it the same sort
exactly
of thing?
So
was it after that Sutton United game that they approached Ella?
After that, yeah. So they just write to the club secretary and just put a 7-day notice in. And then obviously we talked to the player, said it's come in. And then we just talk about what, you know, how they want to take it on. But she asked my advice, and I said, you can't not look at them. They seem to be looking like they're trying to progress. I said, the only way you'll know if it's good for you is if you have that conversation. Obviously, we wanted her to stay, but I wouldn't be doing what I said I would do by saying, come to us and we'll help you move on.
Yeah. holding players back.
Yeah, that's it.
How many steps above our Worthing at the
moment? They're one step. But
so she might come back to haunt us next season if it all goes
well. Or us haunt them.
Oh yeah, that's more likely. But besides that, you must feel so proud that your players are now, and obviously that's a testament to you and Kelly. Yeah. The way you're training the girls and everything like that to be approached by a club and a step above.
Yeah.
And she, I think I saw on this weekend on Twitter, she's already been given man of the match or sorry, player of the match. I should say. I've got to get out there. Player of the match. Week, yeah, that was
but
it.
But also, I think they're playing at Plough Lane this week as well.
That'll be an experience.
They look like they're investing in the team.
Well, this month, I say December, January, got some important fixtures, trying to catch up some of that those games in hand.
Yeah.
What are your expectations? Is it going to be a tricky month, or do you see yourself coming out of that quite well?
Well, I think we've got one more league game, and then we've got the County Cup against Lewis. So that's their
development.
Actually
play this one rather than say to the men's that they can't play.
Yeah.
You heard all about that.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Well, so what we've got is it's on the 18th, so we've got a 12:30 kickoff. But obviously, most importantly, next week, we want to get another 3 points. So Millwall lost against Fulham. I don't think they're playing this week, but they've still got another game on the 18th. So we'll see. It's down to them. Yeah. If we see if they win, we can't be a top at Christmas.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I think that would be the best little... that would be the little decoration on the tree you want on Christmas Day, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be lovely.
John, thanks for joining us again. Good luck for the rest of the... and Happy New Year and Happy Christmas to you and the team.
And to you.
Cheers, John.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Always good to speak to John. I think... He should be proud when we talk things like Ellen Newman, like moving on to AFC Wimbledon, the league above. He said she could come back to haunt us in the future. Let's we could go back to haunt them as we'd like to think, because hopefully we could be up in that league next season. I think we've got a really good chance of it.
Really good, and just sounds so encouraging. And John's always so positive and open with his thoughts as well, which it's always appreciated.
It is always appreciated because, they take their time out. He comes in a little bit early so he can talk to us. So we do appreciate it. And we'll be, I enjoyed when we were in the FA Cup round one against Sutton, me, you and Big C standing behind the goal making all the noise. I think some of the girls were like, what the hell are they three doing over there?
It was some real noise. And to get them to come down to our end afterwards and give us a round of applause as well. It's quite special.
That's good. Yeah, and if it, as I said, if it wasn't being up in Milton Keynes, I think we would have been down on the Sunday cheering it for all and more. But no. If there's more games this season, I'm sure there'll be more opportunities to go to. Let's get a few of you that listen down, join us. We say it every pod,
don't we? Get down, you're missing out.
But also, just to make some noise, because, the ladies aren't used to that, and it's quite good to see their reaction. I think, I wouldn't quite say, but I think it drove them on a little bit as well. What was the score? Was it 7 or 8?
I lost count. I can't remember. I think it was 8.
Yeah, and I always remember Ella Newman, like, obviously, her corner. Like, she, we said to her, she came for the, she'd scored she'd set up a really good corner, and we said, can you go and teach the men's team a few set piece things? And she laughed, and she'd come back for the second one and go, another good one, Ella. And she goes, was it? I'll try.
Well, the first one was a perfect cross, and a header. Goal.
And the second one, which she actually scored straight from the corner, I think she came over to us, where we were standing.
As soon as she kicked it, there was an
and then she went, oh.
There was an expletive as soon as she kicked it, because she thought it was a poor corner and it flew straight in.
I think she was as confused as we were, but she scored. But, all the best to Ellen. Thanks. Obviously, she joined us on the Rebel Yell podcast last season. Always good to see a Rebel go further in their career. And maybe we'll see you down these neck of the woods sometime in the future.
So, speaking of players going off on their career and on an upwards
trajectory. Emily Linzer.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Privileged to be joined by Emily Linzer, one of the ladies' players here at Worthing. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks.
Ready to go out and get... bit cold in a minute, aren't you?
Yeah, I can see we're sitting here. You've
only got one, you said. But you've been here nearly a year now since you've officially come back. And I understand you were in America before that doing a scholarship. Was it a football scholarship?
Yeah. So I went out straight from college. So when you go out in the States, you sort of study and do football as well. So I was out there, worked out about 3.5 years, but it's normally 4. I graduated in December rather than in May. So I played out there. In the south of Georgia, so like on the border of Georgia and Florida, so nice and hot.
It's always somewhere warm. Whenever we've spoken to players before, it's like, where have you been?
It's always
Florida or somewhere really warm.
Yeah,
she went one at Texas, maybe.
Oh, Texas.
Yeah, it's always somewhere nice
honestly,
and warm.
They ask then, you, like, what do you want out of this? I'm like, hot weather.
Yeah.
I want to go to the beach.
Then you end up a freezing cold night at Worthing.
Yeah, brilliant. Full circle.
Well, it's still by the sea, isn't it? So it's just another type of sea and everything like that. So you, as I said, been a year, how have you found it? Like, you know, so you came sort of midway through the change between Michelle and, because John said, were you here before you went on your scholarship a little bit? Were you playing a little bit before?
No, so I was actually with John at the Lewis Academy whilst I was at college. So that's how I knew John previous and Kelly. So I was there and then went out and I knew some of the girls who played here a few years ago. So I'd come in for, like, in pre-seasons, just to get that extra fitness, extra sessions, a bit of social time with my mates as well. And Michelle was nice enough to have us along, a few of us. So knew some of the girls through that and the setup and Kelly and everyone. So yeah, that's how I got here.
So you're enjoying it so far though, like, since you've been back, like, all that long
time. It's really good.
It's been a, I'd say, especially over the last few weeks, Spence, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, hasn't it? Second round of the FA Cup, that first round, absolute thrashing of Sutton. One of the top players leaving for a club above. It's been a bit of a roller coaster at the moment, hasn't
it? Yeah, it's been a bit mental, to be honest. Like, none of us really had a lot of expectations coming in. We're quite a new team in the sense of, like, playing together. A lot of us knew each other from different clubs, from childhood clubs, senior clubs, everything in between. So we knew individually had, like, a really good team, but we never really knew what it was going to look like all together. So I think it was a nice surprise, to be honest.
So it sounds like it's really working out for you, not only on a football level, but on a social level as well. Seems like you can see it when you see you all together, you know, like after games and training, you know, you're such a good group.
Yeah, no, it's honestly such a laugh, like, coming in and, you know, there's always someone you can talk to, and we like our team socials, shall I call it? Yeah. Team socials are always always a bit of a laugh. So I do look forward to it, to be honest. And, like, coming to training, everyone's like good vibes, and yeah, it's fun.
So this season, obviously, as we said to John, second in the league with two games in hand, chance to go top possibly by Christmas, depending on results.
Yeah.
Couple of the girls we spoke to being a season, and John, obviously the target this year was to be in that top spot come the end of the season. Is everything going how you expected it to be going, or is it better than what you expected?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I didn't have a lot of expectations coming in just because it was quite a new team. But I think the individual quality, I think we have the potential to come top of the league, if not do it by quite a good margin. And I don't think that's any disrespect to the other teams in the league. I just think what we have and how we've gelled as a group so quickly and the results we've managed to have without really knowing how each other play yet or, like, playing styles and things like that, I just think it's testament to not just the coaches but players as well. So
that's good. So you think this team and this group's got a long way to go still?
Yeah, weirdly enough. Like, I think even being annoyed that we didn't beat a tier three team, I just think it speaks volumes above. And we're, like, so gutted after the game. And then you sort of have to zoom out a bit and be like, we're not supposed to be doing this by not even Christmas, competing at that kind of level. So I think there's huge amounts of room.
I was going to say, it must have been gutting, but also so frustrating because it was that injury time. Come the 90th minute, you were 2-1 up.
Yeah.
So how did the girls take it? Or it must have been really, I mean, what an achievement to get and play a team two leagues above and you match them inch by inch. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to just not get over that finishing line, like, as a player, how did it feel?
It sucked. I'm not going to lie, just to see everyone, like, so disheartened afterwards. And because we were so close and we knew we deserved it. And I think that was the hardest bit because we knew we should have won that game. And it just came down to, I don't know if it was game management, whether it's that is the difference between those leagues where they take advantage of those situations or those, like, small amount of chances that they had, they just took them, or if they knew they just wanted to draw out injury time, so, you know, tactical fouls or that kind of stuff. You know, it just is, I think that's the bit that is the difference between the leagues. So it's a hard one to take, but
it's a learning curve, doesn't it? It's a learning process.
Exactly. I think it'll be good
seeing how these so-called bigger teams, how they manage games.
Yeah, but I'm honestly proud of, like, every single person because you could just tell, like, they gave absolutely everything. And I think the way we handled ourselves during the game, halftime, like, we were nothing but respectful and managed ourselves really well considering how heartbroken we were, to be honest.
So we move on just to talk a little bit about yourself now. So you obviously went to the USA to get that football scholarship. Is that sort of your ambition now to like make it in football? Or is it sort of just a thing you've enjoyed doing? It's kind of like, what do you do as a career at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So, so I graduated uni and I never really wanted to go to university, but it was such a good opportunity to sort of play as much football as I wanted and get a degree out of it as well. So I studied psychology. So that's what my undergrad is in. I'm undecided if I want to do a master's or anything like that. I currently work for Amex in Brighton.
Great,
it's all good. It's a good company and obviously big ties to Brighton, so that's where my heart's at with that, to be honest. But I've not really decided on career. And as far as football, I think I'm just a very competitive person, always wanting to push myself. So yeah, I'm never going to be like complacent with, you know, sticking to one level. I think everyone in this team wants to push themselves and even just to get the club to a higher standard and be as competitive as we can be, really.
Cool. So we always like to say, find out a little bit more about the person.
Yeah.
So you've got an interesting fact you can ask and the listeners know.
An interesting fact. I'm boring.
No, you're not. No one's boring. Interesting fact. We'll start getting into what's your favourite biscuit. We'll start getting to that.
No, that'll be really spoken about.
No, that's Jammy Dodgers every day of the week.
Jammy Dodgers, popular one.
It just is. Oh, so good. Or bourbon, to be fair.
What about some things like, something must have happened in America or something like that when you're out there, like something interesting? I mean, obviously keep it PG.
That's what I mean. Where's this podcast
American
going?
Pie and all that lot.
Have you met anyone famous?
Okay. That's a good one. Yeah. I met Megan Fox in a coffee shop.
Jealous.
Yeah, there's she was filming
just bumped into Megan Fox. Yeah. Did
you chat to her, though?
Yeah, I got a photo.
There you go.
It was fun.
There's nothing interesting. There's nothing interesting about Emily, apparently.
It was fun. There was the town that I studied in was getting used for a lot of films because it's quite like an old southern town. So there's a lot of camera crews there, like just filming shots of stuff. And then walked into a coffee shop, just loads of us doing our homework, and then Megan Fox was talking with.
We got there in the end. What football team do you support?
Brighton.
That's right, the links to Brighton, Brighton.
Massive.
So we can't really talk because Charlton and Brighton are playing next week and you're probably going to absolutely smash us. So,
absolutely.
Or we could take advantage because it's just after the World Cup, Spence. Emily, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Thanks, Emily, for joining us on the Rebel Yell podcast. Really good. I really like hearing when we get to see the players and everything like that on the podcast. I really think, like as John said, like by Christmas, they could be sitting top. And obviously, any time when you're on top of Millwall, it's much better because as a Charlton fan, I mean, I bet it's not to say that when Adam Hinchelwood's in the room, as we know, he's a Millwall fan. But apart from that, I think it's always one of those that if we could be sitting Christmas top of the league, I think you've got to look forward and think, well, it's not too far down the line. They could be lifting that title.
But it's also so encouraging to hear, you know, how much the players are enjoying their football and being part of the team and part of the club.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think as we've said over these interviews, it's been quite interesting where you've seen that they've come from, some have come from paid positions in football to then take in, well, so, you know, Worthing aren't paid, but they also want to come and play for us because of John, because of Kelly and the facilities.
It's like John said as well, it's players... getting players to recognise that sometimes you have to take a step backwards to take two steps forwards.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's a great mindset.
No, it's a great mindset. And well done to the ladies. We look forward to catch up with John next month. On to the men's team now. As we said at the beginning, it's been a roller coaster of results. A couple of those that stand out, though. I mean, Spencer, I wonder what one you're going to say.
Well, we're sitting here after... we'll just call it the Tuesday night game. I don't think I want
to. Tuesday terrorised on the Tuesday night.
You know, go back a couple of days before. What an absolutely amazing game performance and day out at Havant and Waterlooville. Absolutely unbelievable. And you know, to be honest, you know, 5-1 win, but on another day, I think it could have been a 5-1 to Havant. It was one of those games, but. You know, sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. I think it did. And, you know, just showed what can happen when teams come out and want to attack and have a go at us.
I was abroad with work, as you know, and like I was tuned in. I couldn't believe it. It was like goal after goal. But from what some of the away boys are saying, some of the long-term fans said, it's probably one of the best ever away days they've had as a Worthing fan. And just looking at the pictures, you made me feel very envious.
Yeah,
about
it wasn't. It wasn't just the performance. You know, the numbers. We turned up in absolute numbers and took over, especially the first half at what we'll call the drinking end. We absolutely took over the end, and fantastic atmosphere. Boys didn't stop from start to finish.
And one away day that I've really liked this season was the one we went to at Dulwich. It was just one of those real, how the hell have we got away with a win there? But that's sometimes the best games, and you feel the most relieved when those games are over. But like Dulwich must have felt stolen from there. Obviously, we had the red card incident, which we're not going to go into. But you know, it was a very it was interesting to go down to there for the first time in the National South, and a very interesting night. Pete was like a fly on doo-doo because he had three beers, three sandwiches. And he was like, yeah, beer. I mean, I was having it as well because
free beer and buffet
where the commentary booth was, but. He didn't get any for you, did he? Like, he had a can out there to take on the journey. I didn't get one for you, but that was...
Wasn't exactly the classiest free beer and buffet, was it, with a can of Stella?
But, it was smoked salmon sandwiches, though, so that's very posh, wasn't it? I mean, what do you expect in that lovely part of London, you know? another sort of one that I think we've had a couple of home wins, really. It's as Pete used to say on the commentary, it was like a Tuesday night. It's like we always win under the lights until this week. I think he said it one time too many because obviously we don't talk about Tuesday night terror. But I think we had the Tunbridge game at home.
Yeah.
That was a very hard fought win. We had the Oxford 1-0 win, which
Oxford were an extremely good team. And again, on another day, they would have gone away.
But was that the one they hit the post or crossbar
four times?
Yeah, and I was like, they must have felt, and I just saw the dejection on the players' face at the end of the game. They were like, how have we not got anything?
I think we only had the one chance.
Yeah, and it's that's what football's like sometimes. But you know, we will have to touch on the Ebbsfleet game. I think it was from that high of the Saturday, but we were saying, I don't think anyone was upset. I think it was just, we were quite shocked, I think.
Some days you just come up against a much better team and they're much better on that day and you just have to take it for what it is. You know, they were an absolutely outstanding outfit and, you know, it showed their movement, their pace, you know, just their general pattern of play. You know, you can see, you know, with the professionalism they've got, you know, you could see that all round.
Yeah, we said it was like, you know, a League One or League Two team playing a Premier League team and just getting...
Well, I think if they played like that on a League Two team on a League Two night, I think they still would have won.
Yeah, I think they're a very good team and I think we'd be very surprised if they get promoted. But this isn't the Absolute Podcast, this is the Rugby World Podcast. We are talking about Worthing. Just before we move on to speak to Adam Hinchelwood, I think one we've got to talk about is the FA Trophy. We're into the next round. First we've ever been, apparently. We beat Weymouth 4-2. Who have we got again? Maidstone
away.
So that would be a tough test, I think. That would be another level above, which we can set the bar to see how we perform against a team like Maidstone. And Maidstone's a place you used to go a couple of times when you were living down that part of the world, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've worked in Maidstone for a few years, so I knew Maidstone fans through work. But it's a really good setup at Maidstone. They've got good support. Unfortunately, there's a train strike, and it's the Saturday before Christmas.
It's going to be a nightmare
Hopefully we can get a few down there.
I think there'll be a few. Car share.
It'll be a good atmosphere if it's been a cup game.
If you've got a driving licence, get your car. Drive some people down there. Some people that can't drive.
It's that or the buses.
Yeah, I think Jerry told me it's about 5 hours worth of buses.
5 hours on three buses. And I don't think you'd be on the beers too much.
I can imagine
the journey
home. On the way home. You'd have to keep on driver. Please stop. Please got to get out. Right, I think we do a cup run and we do a chat with Adam Hinchelwood. Let's join Adam now, who sat down with us on a cold night after training to give us his thoughts on the last couple of months.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Adam, it's been a couple of months. Welcome back to the podcast. How are you feeling?
No, all good, all good. Obviously, some real highs, some real lows. But in the main, I think there's been, generally, the performance level has been quite good. Mm-hmm. Not always got the rewards for it. And at times we've gone over and above the expectations and, you know, better than the performances deserved. But, know, in the main, I think the performances have been generally good over the month.
Yeah, I mean, we said it earlier, didn't we, Spencer? We feel, I think, a fair assessment of the last couple of months is probably a roller coaster. Four losses, three draws, five wins. It's not bad all in all when you look at it, but obviously we look at the like losses more than we do the wins. And sitting sixth in the National League South, we said this time last year you'd have taken out a pinch. And I know we spoke to you last month, you said there are those frustrations, you think you could have been higher or done better. Are they still chipping away a little bit? Yeah, right.
No, yeah, definitely. I think the game that's most recent in memory, probably Chelmsford at home. I don't think we deserved to lose the game, and we lost it 3-1. I think the first goal was offside, the second one's an absolute worldie, that is it. Yeah, and then obviously we're chasing a 2-0 scoreline. Mm. But it was a good performance, and just felt that if we can keep building on those performances, that hopefully the goals will come. But I think we've made some good additions. I think Josh and Mo Mo Dabra in particular, have added exactly what we was looking for in the midfield. And
yeah, well, we've discussed that, haven't we? You know, the additions we've made and how they've improved the team, improved the squad.
I think obviously it felt like, I think Spencer was saying, like, on, you know, having on Saturday, it was just a little bit like it almost seemed to be the team finally gelled, and like, you know, what you've been trying, and adding those players like Mo and Josh, like they've, I mean, everyone said Josh as well, Mo's been great, but Josh has just added that little bit, almost like the Jasper-esque we were missing. I mean, is that a fair comment, would you say?
Yeah, I think a bit different to Jasper.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he's got a bit more to learn, but yeah,
bit more quality. I think Josh has got personally
the creativity.
It's definitely an area that we've been looking to improve in. I think when you bring lone players in, you know, you want them to improve the team and give you a little boost. And I think them two boys in particular definitely have. And seeing the level of player that we've got to try and get and aspire to get, and the level that players within the squad have got to try and reach. And I think having them here and seeing how they work and seeing how they train, seeing how they look after the ball and their work rate, their intensity, having them here amongst us really helps with that as well.
And one I've also, Brit, I was saying to Spencer before we spoke to you, is Ibia Kambi. Like when I spoke to you last upstairs before you and the trainer, he was doing sort of training with us, and then you signed him the next week, scored against Dulwich, his old team as well. You've been pleased how he's fitted in as well. He's been a good addition, I think, to be bringing on as a striker.
He certainly has. Obviously, he had a little run and then, you know, was out the team for one reason or another. And you know, it's just how it's gone that Cal's come in and scored a lot of goals and been really effective for us. So, you know, obviously delighted for Cal to get his goals, but how we've been playing with just one up front just lately, obviously, you know, limits the amount of striker options you can have out on the pitch. So, you know, same with Ollie, missed for illness, and then Cal comes in and scores a couple of goals. So it's just one of them. We're playing one striker at the moment, and we've got probably four good quality strikers, and you know, it's down good healthy competition that we've been striving for.
Yeah, well, great position to be in, to have so many players competing and all trying to outdo each other.
No, that's right.
But then to have those options off the bench and different games to play, different slightly different systems, slightly different setups.
No, it helps massively. Yeah, just to you know, have striker options, like I say, to come off the bench and have an impact for you. And I think, you know, to bring Miki and Ollie on Saturday was massive, to have that on the bench to come on, and the energy and that those quality they showed when they come from the bench really did help us massively. So, yeah, it's a great position to be in. Obviously, you know, they're all going to want to play, so we have to look at that. Obviously, Jav's missed a few games through suspension and come in, but he's worked tirelessly. He's really got himself a lot fitter. And he's definitely, you know, a lad that is a great lad that will work hard. He's settled into the group now. And I think we'll only see more better quality come from him as well.
Fantastic. Do you see any more changes in the near future? Any departures or maybe arrivals possibly? Like, or are you quite settled with the squad now?
No, still looking, to improve and get better. We've played Ebbsfleet, Chelmsford, haven't in recent weeks. Don't know how good Ebbsfleet are, because we certainly didn't turn up for that first half. So, but the other teams, I feel we can be competitive with this season. We've played Dartford away, Chelmsford, and now haven't. all the teams that are up there. Braintree,
yep.
Close game, and I think we can be competitive with these kind of teams. So
all the teams in around us, like Oxford, I think that's where we're, you know. Yeah,
that Oxford game, we were saying that Oxford game was just literally just amazing. Like, you know, it's one of those games they've hit the woodwork four times. I think you said to me after the game, but that's football, isn't it? Like, you know, we're going to get games like that that are frustrating, which Oxford are feeling, and you're not going to say no to that, are you?
No,
well, I think we've seen that a lot so far this season in this league, haven't we? You can have a really good game. It just doesn't go your way. But then there's been other occasions you don't play quite as well and suddenly you've got yourself a nice 3 points.
No, that's right, yeah. And I think, you know, Tuesday night was a prime example of that. We was absolutely nowhere near it. And when you're playing against the top teams, you just get punished. And, you know, we was probably fortunate for it only to be 4-0, to be honest. But, you know, showing the boys and I think they're a really honest group and you know, they take it on the chin and want to learn and want to improve.
Because from a manager's point of view, like obviously we've gone from beating second or third in a league on Saturday to obviously playing first, second, not Ebbsfleet. And we know their professional setup, but just from your point of view, just be curious about it. We've all said, like, you know, no one was angry because I think we were just shocked a little bit. But from your point of view, what do you think went wrong? Like, what was it? Why did they beat us 6-0?
I thought the first 20 minutes was quite an even game and we had a couple of chances. And then it felt to me that one or two players sort of went into their shell a little bit rather than, you know, treating it almost like a cup final like they did. And they just stopped us playing. I think their game plan spoke to their guys after, and it was to stop Kane and Josh getting on the ball, and whenever they got it they would just really go and press them hard. And you know, I wanted the same thing from my team on them, and you know, I just didn't see that, and I showed how far off we was. And you know, as good as they were, if you give them 5 yards of space, then
they were so quick back to front. I mean like ridiculous, wasn't it? You know, one of the goals was keeper made a bit of an error at one end and they've just broken, they were gone. So do you put that down then? Obviously you've seen the videos back in that perspective. So do you see that more because they were sort of cutting players out?
Nah, I think I didn't see anything, like, I'm not being disrespectful, I didn't see anything in their play. Watching, I only watched the first half back because the second half's irrelevant, isn't it? If you're 4-0 down, then you're obviously trying to chase the game anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, they killed us in the first half. So watching the first half back a couple of times, there's a couple of little bits of play. I thought those very good decision makers made the right decisions, which good players do. But there's no real patterns that I want. Oh, bloody hell, I've never seen that before or anything like that. You know, that goal in particular that we're talking about, it was literally Mo had a good press on the goalie. We had three players around their player who just hooked it into the channel. And our back line is nowhere to be seen. You know, if you see that from our under-14s, I'm going to be disappointed. So, you know, that is just the kind of schoolboy mistakes that we made, in my opinion. As good as they are, they're going to look even better, and they're going to look like they're 6-0 better than you if you...
Do you think it was maybe a mistake to beat Havant 5-1 on Saturday and they rechanged their game plan, you know?
Not
I mean, that was amazing. Yeah. Spencer's one of the best away days. A lot of the guys, you must have been so happy coming from that.
It was an unbelievable result. The support, I've got to say, for both games has been amazing. I watched the game back the first half from Ebbsfleet, and all you can hear is our fans spurring us on, even when it's 4-0.
Yeah.
And that's incredible testament to you guys.
Yeah, this is what we were saying, you know, no one's particularly upset and everyone's just here to support the boys.
It was weird because honestly, I support Charlton, West Ham, Millwall. I'm sure if they lost 6-0 after winning 5-1, you'd be absolutely fuming, wouldn't you? But like, it's a weird scenario because you went out the ground after, and you know, you'd think if that was a normal, if taken out of context, someone saw that on the internet, you'd think, why was no one fuming? Because it was such a thing. I think we just saw it as a different level that they were at.
Probably I must have been the only one then that was fuming.
Oh, yeah, but we know you take it. Yeah. But you want to win every game, I don't know.
Sorry, I mean, like, all you can do, obviously, it does hurt. It hurts when you lose 6-0. I didn't get much sleep that night, to be honest. And you're up thinking about how you can improve and stuff like that. So you do take, me in particular, I take those kind of defeats personally.
Yeah, well, it shows how much you care.
And I'm guessing the big test as well is the response against Dover on Saturday.
That's it, 100%. And you're just hoping that, you know, the lads give the kind of response that I know that they can do. They're a good, honest group of players, and that's all you ask for. And yeah, we want to get tighter and want to put them under a bit more pressure. And like I said, we didn't do that. And you know, that was the biggest disappointment of all.
Well, let's put that one to bed, because that's hopefully one of the low lights of the season we'll look at and laugh at when we are lifting that promotion trophy at the end of the season, mate.
Hopefully.
Jake Robinson, any update with him?
Yeah, he's doing really well. So he's obviously had his op. I think he's about 6-7 weeks post-op now. He's on over there.
So yeah, I saw him walking. We were going to interview him as first podcast of the season, but he said he went and got himself in.
Yeah, so, he's doing really well. Everyone, all the surgeons and all the specialists he spoke to said like he's doing really well. He's doing some squatting, which is well ahead of schedule for the moment.
So is there a rough time frame, do you think?
No, I don't put any pressure on him. I think,
will we see him before the end of the season?
I wouldn't have thought so. I think it's more a case of pre-season. He'll be back for pre-season. I think that's his target. But
we'd love to see how he's progressing,
you never know.
Yeah, because obviously, for us, he was one of these players that he joined and we were like, wow, this guy's unreal, different kettle. And to see that, it was like we said about Parso on the first home game of last season. It's just unfortunate. But, it's good that you see him quite a lot on match day as well. So obviously it's good that he's still got the hunger to be must be a testament to
he's working really hard and he's getting himself in a good place. All the surgeons and all the specialists that he speaks to are really happy with how it's going. Sam's happy with how he's progressing, said this is a good knee at the moment. It's progressed well at this stage for post-op, so really pleased with that.
So there was a time he wasn't going to possibly do the operation, wasn't there?
Because of his age and that, and I think he just got to a stage where he's had to make a decision and he went with the operation route. And it's one of them, there's no way anyone from the club could put any pressure on him.
Of course not.
It's a decision he had to make, unfortunately. There wasn't enough people that were pushing him not to have the op, I don't think. And not enough evidence of people coming back.
Yeah.
So, just happy now he's got it sorted and his mind's focused on going back fit. But again, talking about Parsons, another one, he's come back and we're hoping that he could be a very good little addition for us over the Christmas period.
Oh, so you're going to see Parso playing in the squad again?
Yeah, I think
that'd be brilliant.
Weymouth on Tuesday is hoping to be available and is available over the Christmas and New Year period. So
it'd be a great addition. Yeah, and how about Starkey? Is there any word on him possibly?
I'm hoping in the new year he's obviously moved, got supporters own place. He's done a bit of work to it. So, other things come along with him.
But he's still interested in
I still speak to him. And obviously his brother's just out at Lancing at the moment. Yeah. So he's another option for us if we need him over this hectic
period. Obviously we're playing Lancing in the Sussex Cup next round after that debacle with Lewis, which we probably won't talk about unless we want to get done for libel. But, I'm sure you've got your own thoughts. But will he be allowed to play against us on there? Or is that that happen?
Me and Nathan got to talk about, really.
Yeah, because he better not score.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird one. You obviously want them to play and get that experience, but at the same time, it's a parent club.
It'd be a funny one. We're looking forward to that. We're also looking forward to Maidstone in the next round of the trophy. You must be looking forward to it, because every season we talk to you, you want a cup run. Didn't happen this year in the FA Cup again, unfortunately, but we got them in the we got trophy. Maidstone team in the league above. It's going to be a good challenge and one you must be looking forward to and relishing.
Obviously we've got a couple of tricky games in the league before then, so full focus on them. But in the back of your minds, it's a great game to look forward to, not just for myself but for the players as well.
And it would just sort of test your level.
We want to test where we are. I want to test, obviously we didn't turn up the other day and against a very good team, so we definitely hoping that that's going to put us in good stead to know that we've got to turn up and compete and run and put them under pressure and see what they're all about. And I feel if we can do that and play our game, get the balance of the two things in and out of possession well, that we can go to Maidstone and give them a good game and be a tough opponent for them, and not just give them a free pass to the next round. And that's what we're really hoping to do.
And as much as we've spoken about that result, at the end of the day, it's one result. And the general momentum has all been in the right direction. Just keep it going.
No, definitely. I think like it's the old adage saying that you don't lose but you learn, and I think that's definitely the case from this game. I think we definitely learned a lot, and you know, if there was the chance of any of us getting complacent, then certainly after a humbling result like that, we're going to have to learn very quickly that you can't afford to take your foot off the gas at this level, especially against the top teams. So you've got to stay really concentrated throughout the game.
That's it.
At the same time, you know, I want the players to believe that they are a good team as well. You know, tonight we've analysed Haven and Ebbsfleet, so you're showing them some really, really good passages. Our third goal that we scored against Haven, you know, is one of the best goals I've seen like this season, let alone like non-league football. It's, I think Josh passes it back to Harrison, and then we like play out, switch the play, everything that you want to see and everything you work on coming together, and it ends up with my favourite goal, a 6-yard tapping.
It's just that team link up in the play. It's the way it happened from, and that's what your tactics are. You play from out the back, and you bring them towards you, and you get the and that little tapping. Yeah. That's what you almost want, don't you?
Especially like they're so brave to make the first pass. It's a real tight pass, and we worked a little triangle brilliantly for that. And with it coming so quickly after us conceding from playing out from the back against Chelmsford, and you know, there's a one or two grumbles alongside me and a touchline there. Like, why don't you just kick it forward? And I do get those frustrations, but it's not what I believe in. I don't think we've got the players that can play that way.
No, exactly.
See, when we do go long, we very rarely win.
Yeah, it's true.
I think that's the up in the stand element, that sit down.
We hear it all the time when we do.
To be brave after still conceding the goal like that and score the one like we did on against having the third one was brilliant to see.
Fab. So Adam, it's coming up to Christmas. We were sort of saying it's the end of the year. I bet you would have taken it this time last year when we're sitting pretty in the Isthmian League that we'd be sixth in the National South. What are your expectations for like till the next time we speak to you at the end of sort of January?
No, definitely like you know, my expectation would have been that, but now having you know 21 games in this level and seeing how the games have gone, you know, bit disappointed with our points total, to be honest. So it's just want to keep on improving this club, want to keep on improving the players at every level, from youth teams all the way up, and you know, I've got a real passion to do that still, and you know, that's got to be the main target.
Well, I mean, I'm enjoying watching what, I mean, yeah, there are frustrations, there are as a fan, as you, as a coach, you know, I'm sure everyone feels them, but I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. I'm enjoying sitting in sixth, and you know, looking, I couldn't have asked anything better.
Looking at where we are at the end of 2022, if you'd have been sitting here at 1st of January 2022, I think you'd have taken it.
Yeah.
No, definitely. I'd be lying if I said that I wouldn't be. But you know, now, like I say, you've had a taste of it. You're always pushing for more, trying for more.
That's what we like to hear.
Well, Adam, have a really happy Christmas, and look forward to speaking to 2023.
You guys. Take care.
Thanks, mate.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Again, like we say to every time, Spencer is always good to speak to Adam. He's always so open and honest with us, and you know, an interesting conversation with him. You know, he's told us like his thoughts, and you know what he expects and what he doesn't expect, and you know. I think some of the signings that we've made alone, is like Josh Chambers and Mo Darby on loan from professional clubs, have been a brilliant.
Oh, they've definitely improved the team. You know, if you're bringing players in, you want to be improving on what you've got, and you know, there's absolutely no doubt that their improvements.
I mean, it's amazing how they've just slotted in so well. Like, it's like the almost two pieces of the puzzle that we were missing.
And, well, Mo was man of the match on Tuesday. Josh has been a couple of times man of the match.
Like we got Ibi Akambi from Dulwich, and I think he's come on, and he's a real solid force.
Gives
some
us,
of the goals
gives
he's
us something different.
He's really like him and Callum up front. Like, it's pretty. You wouldn't want to mess with them, would you? You know, but those are really good, and I think you know. I do think, like, besides Tuesday, I think a lot of people said it really felt like the Haven game was the first time the team had properly gelled in a long time, and that's why they came out with such a good score. Forget Friday. They've had a good couple of they've got a good training session tonight. We're going to Dover on Saturday. It's a long journey, but let's hope they really forget that. Just chip on the shoulder and then move on. And I think that's what you can expect from it.
Well, we're now quite, you know, even though it's only still early December, we're quite deep into the season fixture wise.
Yeah, we're sitting sixth.
So you know, and you know, these players have now had a lot of time to bed in, playing together, and playing at this level of football, and knowing what to expect.
Yeah,
and you know, it's really all starting to come together.
It is one of those, and you know, I think at the end of the day, where you can't expect anything more or less of the team. If I would say from this time last year, if we were sitting in sixth in the National League South by Christmas, I think we'd been buzzing for that, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Well, let's move on now. We'll speak about the youth setup here. Stu Evans is always good to talk about the youth, so we joined Stu as well for a little session and a catch up on the youth setup here.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Well, a podcast wouldn't be a podcast without Stu, would it?
Say so, mate.
Oh, shut up. You know for a fact if I hadn't called you over tonight, you would have gone home crying and I'd have got abuse next time. I
would have gone home quicker to warm up, mate.
Yeah, there might be a vacancy going.
What?
We need a...
Oh, yeah, because Pete's gone sick again tonight, and you did such a good job co-hosting it last month with me. So if you fancy kicking Pete to the curb and you having it,
I can't take that role off. He's a legend. I can't tell that.
Can you not say that? It just inflates his ego even more. Stu called me a legend.
He'll be putting that on a T-shirt.
Yeah, you will, yeah.
Stu called me a legend. Anyway, 100%. Stu, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate.
Yeah, a little bit cold tonight. Horrible out there.
Mm.
Joys of being a coach.
Yeah, it was a good session to be fair, by the looks of things. It was, the boys enjoyed it and there's good tempo and everything. So, yeah, weather didn't really stop us.
Well, it wasn't windy or anything, it's just cold, and exactly. It's just pure cold.
Glad to be inside.
But I guess after, what's a training session like after a loss of Tuesday? Like, obviously, you've obviously got to pick the boys up because, as we were saying, off air, it's not like we weren't, no one was here, was angry, we were just shocked. But, you know, I can imagine the lads were just completely gutted about it. So, how do you pick them up?
I think they do that themselves, to be fair. They know they need to bounce back, so they don't need picking up. They know they need to bounce back on Saturday against Dover, so we don't have to do anything. Things don't have to do anything. Business is normal.
Let's see if they bounce back Saturday. That's the test,
Exactly. If they don't, we'll go on a Tuesday. I mean, the games are coming thick and fast at the moment. So.
No, they are. It's like literally Saturday, Tuesday.
Yeah, it's mental.
You must be looking forward to, in a couple of weeks' time, playing Mason, Trophy League above. See how you play on the sort of level above. It'd be a good testing point, wouldn't it? Hopefully a cup run as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, really looking forward to that. I've never been to the ground either, so looking forward to that day out.
A lot of us are. It's just a pain with all the train strikes, bus strikes, everything else. I think it's just going to be a driving event. How's the youth setup going at the moment? Like a couple of months since we last spoke, happy with the progress? You know, any standout performances in the last couple of months?
Not particularly, in terms of particular people, but the boys are doing, everybody's doing really well. Yeah, the club's in a good place. And Mikey was saying the same thing, but new sides are going well. 14s are, coming slowly, starting to adapt to how we play football and showing some really good signs. And 15, 16 is the same. So we're all in a really good place, mate.
Yeah, but there's a game earlier on today, was there? Or was it came up on your instant replay where they lost?
No.
Was that
probably just a highlight from the weekend.
Just highlight of the weekend,
So the 16s played Arundel on Sunday and got beat 3-1.
Yeah. Disappointing?
No, not really, mate, because... No. It's about education, really, at that age. So results don't really make any difference. So it's about, are they playing the Worthing way? Are they looking to play the right type of football? Are they looking to play out from the back? Are they making the right decisions on the ball? That type of stuff. And they were. I mean, just quality wasn't there in areas, but in general, they were playing the Worthing way, which is what we want to do, really. So, I'm not disappointed at all, mate, to be honest.
So we had probably what... A lot of the away boys, a lot of the fans have said are one of the best away days they've ever had against Havant. What was that like for you, like being on the coaching team?
Yeah, just unreal, mate, to be honest. But the boys have had that, like, coming for a few weeks, to be fair. Once we're clinical in front of goal, there's no team like us, really, I think, except Mebsley in the league. So, it's been coming for a few weeks. Unreal day. One of those kind of like slap your face around your face.
Those literally all came together, didn't
they? Exactly. Yeah, no, they were unreal.
We were saying, you don't get many of them, those memorable days. Like, unfortunately, I wasn't there, but, watching highlights and seeing the photos on social media is just brilliant. And,
it
seemed to be what was sort of said is that was maybe one of the gelling points of the team. It seemed to be finally the team have gelled, forgetting what happened on Tuesday. And, hopefully we can build back and do that because the players are starting to play really well as a team. And some of the play, it must be great to see.
Oh, mate, some of the football against Havant was just like watching Real Madrid. It was...
Hinch said in his earlier interview, one of his favourite goals were literally the third one where it literally was slotted in for 6 yards, but it's just a play out from the back.
Build up from the back. Being able to invite the press high up the pitch, being able to handle it, being able to control the ball out from from the back all the way through the thirds up to the unreal. Yeah,
and
unreal.
The loan players have slotted in so well as
lovely
well.
Lovely lads as well. Yeah, way, again, he's done wonders. The boss in terms of finding players that are just good people as well. Mm-hmm. There's no egos. Mo's a lovely lad. Josh is a lovely lad. They just slot in, and they've always been there.
Well, we've always seen that over the years. That's point worth in that you get an ego with Adam as your boss. You're not here very long, are you? Like we've seen certain players that are around the league and the league below. You see, mm-hmm. they're still playing, but you know they were once, and you thought they might be good, but you can tell that their attitude just wasn't what Adam looks for in Worthing.
There's a certain element that you have to have an ego to be a footballer. I think you can see that with the likes of Ronaldo and Messi and people like that.
I thought you were going to say Ollie Pearce at front with his housery.
I think that Ronaldo had an ego.
No, really?
You didn't know that at all, would you? You have to have an ego to a point, but you need to be able to back that ego up. And I think what we do really well here, and he does really well, is implement the standard in the first team that we then as coaches take down to the younger teams as well, the youth teams, where you have to be modest, you have to be genuine, you have to work hard, and you have to be just a genuine, nice person as well.
Yeah.
And anybody, we've had it a couple of times over the last couple of years, even the youth sides, where there's been a character that hasn't fit that criteria, and they soon fizz out.
Yeah.
And it's the way it should be.
So, Stu, just before we wrap it up, anything you're looking forward to over the next couple of months, Christmas time? I can't remember. You were Bar Humbug over Christmas.
No, mate, I'm looking forward to Christmas this year. I need a break. A break from work. So, I'm looking forward to having some time off, to be honest with you. Getting a few of the youth teams in for couple of individual sessions over Christmas, a couple of injured and looking to get back quite quickly. But no, mate, it's just going to be busy. It's going
to
be hectic.
Any games that the youth are playing soon that you're looking forward to? Or any, I mean, you said you're looking forward to going to Maidstone, a new ground.
Yeah, no, that'd be good. I'm looking forward to that. No, in terms of the youth games, again, they're quite sparse over Christmas, to be quite honest with the youth teams, because they tend to have a break a couple of weeks over Christmas. So no, there's no youth team games. But we've got a few of the under-16s playing for the under-18s in the County Cup on Sunday afternoon, so that'd be good.
Yeah.
See how they get on and fit with the 18s. Mate, I take it day by day at this football club.
No,
worry about tomorrow morning, and then Saturday, Friday.
It's all about the next game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Stu, thanks for joining us once again, mate. I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
And
happy New Year to you and the family, mate. And we'll speak to you in 2023.
Cheers, bud.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Stu loves a pod, doesn't he?
He loves it. Guest host
last month, wasn't he? Because you and Pete couldn't be bothered again. But you know, like I'll let you off. But you might be getting Stu as a regular host if you're not careful, Spence.
Gone already.
Oh, there you go, Stu's my right hand man. You're doing well, as it's just great when you see the pathway. You know that how well they are doing, and you know these are going to be the players of the future, which is brilliant.
Yeah, and you know they get their opportunity. It's good to see they get their opportunity. Apart from when Lewis decided to call off senior trophy games, you know, which could have been an opportunity for one or two, but you know, there's the Lancing game coming up before Christmas.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, see one or two youngsters get a chance in that one.
Exactly. That'll be it. And hopefully we'll have a good little run in that. You know, it'd be good to see the Lancing game. And I like going to Lancing's ground. It's something I know it's not really much, but it's always got a nice feel to it. I like it there.
It's convenient.
It's just a local and convenient. It's not far to go. Get on the train, sorted. Midway through the season now, I'd say we're coming up to midway, aren't we, really? But everyone looks at Christmas as sort of when you start looking at like the people in the league and stuff. We've seen and heard a few changes around the ground. It's always good. Like Barry is very open and honest with us here at the beginning of the season, so I thought it'd be good to sit down with Barry early on today. So over to you, Barry.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
Thank you for joining us. How are you doing so far?
Hi, James. Yeah, all good. Very much looking forward to Christmas, but great to be chatting to you again.
Thanks, Barry. So, like, obviously, we do see each other on a regular, on a match day. I thought we'd talk about sort of the season so far. It's been, I mean, one that we can be very happy of from a playing side of things for both the men's and women's teams. We'll start on the men's teams, but, you know, we're sitting pretty in the playoff zones at the moment. More than you expected to be at this time of the season? Let me say, would you have taken it this time last year?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think we're playing ahead of our expectations. There's no doubt about that. Not our capability, but perhaps our expectation, because we entered into something unknown, didn't we, this year? We weren't sure quite what to expect. So I think we've been in the playoff place pretty much all season, haven't we, other than the odd week. And so you have to be really pleased with that start from the men's team. I would say though, James, when I look at the football club, I often have to look at two sides of the club, on pitch and off the pitch, in order to make sure we keep, well, we'll maybe talk about the off the pitch
as well.
we've learned some lessons on the pitch this season. I mean, we could just talk like this is recording the week after we beat Havant and Waterlooville 5-1, and then we lost 6-0 to Ebbsfleet. Both teams really up there. I mean, you could just tell the different level of class from a full-time professional outfit to sort of the semi-professional that we are. And was it a surprise to you to see the sort of difference in class between the two teams? I mean, as we know, Adam said on his interviews, there are lessons to be learned. We all know there is. But, you know, has that been throughout the season? Because I know a lot of the comments from the fans have been that this league is wide open apart from a couple of teams. And, you know, anyone can beat anyone. And it's very exciting. And to see some of the results we've had, and we're still sitting in the playoffs, draws and maybe losses and stuff. What's the sort of game style you've noticed? And, you know, did you really stick out, you know, the Ebbsfleet game at the week on Monday night?
Yeah, I think as a chairman of the club, I suppose my role is, or what my role definitely isn't, is to review each game as we go and how the team have played. And I definitely leave that to Adam and Nathan and their work and their prep with the squad. But if I look at some of the bigger pointers here, you know, what a 3 days that was actually recently.
It's like a literal roller coaster of emotions, wasn't it? One of the best away days it's ever said by some of the, you know, the long-term supporters of the club. And, you know, no one was peed off with Monday's result. I think we were just shocked. I think it was more than anything.
Yeah, we went away to Ebbsfleet, to Havant and Waterlooville early kickoff. Didn't expect to win by that margin. We did. I think the Ebbsfleet game, I spoke to their board, obviously, as I do every game, to opposing boards, find out a little bit more. And, you know, it was clear Adam's earned a lot of respect. Him and his squad have earned a huge amount of respect. This season, I think everybody has recognised we're not there to just make numbers up. We are there to compete and at a high level. And I was told by some reliable sources there at their board that when they came to the game on Tuesday, that if they were going to get derailed at all in the next few months, it was going to be this game. So it showed you the respect that they showed us. Mm-hmm. I think that's been very well earned by Adam and the team. And I think you know, 6-0, I think probably a little bit generous, but it really does show, and you pointed out the difference between a part-time club and a full-time professional football club. Our player up front, I think, was at Leeds United not long ago.
Yeah.
The amount of time you've got to organise, prepare your team, to improve their fitness levels. And I think they came at us and they gave it everything. They gave everything that night, and obviously we were caught us on a bad night, so the result was what it was. But that's the difference, I think, between probably a National League side. I think they are a National League side, and probably could compete quite highly in the National League.
Yeah.
And a team that competes at National League South at the moment.
I think we said maybe it was our own undoing by beating Havant 5-1. They might have completely re-looked at their gameplay. But no, it was definitely, you said, a rollercoaster of emotions. And talking about teams, like the women's team, how far have they come this season? Like, John is doing an amazing job. I mean, to get to the second round proper, the FA Cup, for the first time, and be minutes away from getting to the third round. I mean, another part of the club that's growing. I mean, what is it? We watched that first round game, didn't we? Where it was an absolute lesson on the pitch.
You must
be proud. You must be proud to see it.
That's the right word. We are incredibly proud of what the team have done. John and Kelly have done off the pitch as well. It's been brilliant. It really has. Not least the FA Cup run. And it really was unfortunate to go out in the way they did. But I know they gave it their all. And they have to be something to be proud of, that run. But what we're really looking at is their form in the league. And I know John is. They're sitting really well poised at the moment, unbeaten. And I don't know exactly the number of points behind, 2, possibly 3, but they've got 20 games in hand. So I think they're well poised to take a promotion spot here, the number one spot. And that ultimately is going to be the game plan for the club.
Yeah. And obviously, John said at the beginning of the season that they'd be lying if they weren't pushing for promotion. So as you've said to me before in previous years of doing this podcast, that you have to start planning. And obviously, the women's team's a little bit different from the men's team. But does, you know, looking at where they're sitting now, have sort of the board and behind the scenes started looking at, if they do go up next season, the way of maybe financing the next level up for the women's team and the sort of future of the women's part of the club?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And we've had that conversation with John 6 to 8 weeks ago, maybe 12 weeks ago, as the season got started, once they got some momentum, we could see they're going to be challenging. So any good organisation will be preparing themselves well ahead of time so they're fit for purpose. And John's given us some good insights. I think a big step was actually made this season with the squad that he's managed to pull together and the way in which we support the squad on match days and around that. There's a little bit more we can do next season if we did get promotion. But I think the nucleus of everything we need to do for next year in a higher league is in place. But there's more we want to do as we can. It's, you know, we'll spend what we can afford. And I've got to give a lot of praise to Ange as well, Angela Tanner, and the work she does with Mike to support the women's section of the pitch. And I think that's shown a huge amount of progress. And we're really, really proud of the work she's done.
I mean, it's a testament to show John and Kelly and what they have done with the squad when we've got Ellen Newman, who's just gone to AFC Wimbledon. I think that's the first in a long time that I've seen someone from Worthing's women's team in a long time take that sort of jump up. And I mean, that it's happening, like it happens to the men's team. They go, you know, they do well, and it's another pathway to progress, is what, which is what the club is all about.
Yeah, it is. Pathway is absolutely runs through our veins. It's in our DNA. It's how we want to run the club's football model, and that's why Nathan's in the role he's in, and Adam there backing him, pushing, supporting that part of our process is brilliant. I think there are probably other players in that squad that could play at a higher level. I'm certain of that, but they
need to keep them for the promotion though. Ella can go.
That's right.
Let Ella.
Well, I think they choose to play for us. They have options, of course they do. And the club's a good attraction. We look after them as best we can. The facilities are great. And all the investment we make as a club go to benefit all the teams in the club. And I think that's really helping as well. And of course, you've got John and Kelly there that are highly respected in that world.
Now, I know we've touched on it before on the podcast, sort of after the women's won the Euros. Has there been any progress on possibly starting some sort of academy for girls, young girls? And I know what we've said before, there's no room on the pitch at the moment to get involved or teaming up with a local sort of area. Is there any further progress on that, Barry?
There is a lot of progress on that. And we've got a number of projects that we're working with local partners to try and enable something. Because as you quite rightly say, we are limited on our pitch of what we can do. We're very keen to introduce a girls' pathway as we have a boys. We know it can work. And I think now with the establishment of our women's team, there's no reason why on earth we couldn't do that. But I want to hold back on making any announcements on this because I'm not yet in a place to tell you what we want to try and achieve. Oh. Not until we've got there. But James, it's the right question, and we definitely are looking at ways in which we can do that and make that happen.
Whether you know me, I like getting little tidbits out of you anyway. You know, it's just what the thorn in your side, Barry, when you speak to me. But I think it's that thing is I go back to when I was selling memberships for the Sports Association at the beginning of the season. I always had this young girl and her mum who was coming to watch one of them. And the mum was saying, oh, is there any like women's sort of girls academy that she could get involved in? And I said, not at the moment. Obviously, there are local teams in the area that do that. But, you know, it'd be so good. And the moment we can announce it, I think it'd be a proud day for the club.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. We just need to do this at the pace we know we can deliver it at, but we're definitely reaching out. I know there are already programs and things and activities happening at the ground supporting girls and getting girls to play more football, and we will definitely formalise that down the line. I think I'd add to this the role that the academy is playing at the club, the education academy with Hinch's footballing input on that as well. That academy is growing from strength to strength, and there is clearly an opportunity down the line to include a girls element to that as well. But we now partner with Chichester College Group, who are the biggest college group in the region. It means we can offer A-levels to students, which means we can broaden our reach out to potential players, which has been an issue for us in the past. So I think that the guys are doing a cracking job there in building that as well.
Fantastic. So going back to sort of the men's team, the attendances this season, we've seen sort of fluctuations. Is it above what you're expecting, or are you a little bit disappointed with the attendances? Do you think it'd be more, or do you think we're building on it?
I think the attendances are in line with what we thought, and I don't think they're any much further behind last year. And I want to just qualify that, James. I think we achieved about 1,300 average crowd last year. And if you look at our crowd so far this year, taking away the fact that we don't have any of those local derbies that we had, and we have three local derbies that were in and around the 2,000 mark. Mm. So they really do affect the average number. So if I take out those derby games and just look at a proper like-for-like comparison, we're averaging 1,112 at the moment. 1,122. Three out of the 13 we've played at home have been on a Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm given a fair comparison, I think we're probably about even with last season, like for like, with taking them out of the derbies. And we have to be really pleased with that. Bearing in mind, last season was a promotion-winning season. We've seen crowds hold up. Now, that's not to say we're complacent. We know we're going to have keep performing. We're about to issue an offer for a half-season ticket as well.
Oh, brilliant.
Trying to bring people in and connect to the club for the rest of the season. We think there's a great run in prospect. So we want to keep the crowds going. And the more they come, the more they'll spend and the more they can go back into the club to reinvest.
Well, it's a perfect time for Christmas. You know, a lot of clubs do half-season tickets. We've seen other non-league clubs doing it, and there has been a bit of chatter wondering if you guys will do it. And I think it will be a way that maybe people that couldn't afford to the whole season, but maybe come to a few games, got the bug, get involved for the rest of the season. Obviously, in the first time we spoke to you this season, we spoke about the ticket prices and you were still not sure the level that you were going to do them at. But you did it for £15 if you buy on the gate and £14 a day up to a day in advance. Have you found any drop in ticket sales? Or I know you said the attendances, but because you were obviously worried about like pricing people out, but you need to stay competitive. How is that, the feedback? How has it been for you? Have you noticed any difference in terms of like when people buy the tickets or they're just turning up on the day?
I think so a couple of things. We first of all, we sold about 50% more season tickets this year than last. So that's going to affect a little bit what happens on the gate. But that was a brilliant move for us to and a great response from our supporters. We put in a good offer and we brought a lot of people in, actually a lot of people that weren't season ticket holders last year. More than half of this year's season ticket holders actually weren't season ticket holders last year. So we've got a nice new group of people coming in, which is a tremendous trend for us to see. And I think our season ticket holders at over 400 now are in the top three or four in the league.
Yeah.
And on match day, we're seeing a rough split of 50-50 in terms of on the gate and online in advance for the matches, which is broadly what we had budgeted for. So, and we're not getting any complaints. I think the value is good.
I think if you look throughout the rest of the league, it's pretty much the same price, bar one or two quid each side.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, we didn't want to do anything that would compromise people coming to the ground, and we didn't want to be disadvantaged, giving anyone a disadvantage in terms of what we charge and what they would have to pay for another ground. So we think it's fair. We think we've got a fair price there.
Fantastic. So talking about other grounds, what are you learning about being a chairman in the National League? Tell the fans, is there anything just taking you by surprise? You know, when you're chatting to these directors, are you getting some ideas? Are you sort of taking, oh, we could do this at ours? Like, it must be fascinating and a sort of learning curve for you.
It's a great question. And I've made it my mission this season to really listen and observe what other clubs at this level do, seeing it's our first time and my first time chairing a club at this level. And I can't tell you the wide approach people, differences in which people approach this league, and whether it's in the hospitality. We get some clubs that are putting on three-course meals down to a sandwich if you're lucky. In regards to facilities, you'll go to somewhere like Hemel Hempstead, and you've got a chairman there that literally walks around with a radio and a vest on and manages the whole thing himself, to clubs like Dartford that have got the fantastic facilities that they have and the infrastructure and the resources. So we're experiencing different things on and off the pitch of such a broad magnitude. It's difficult to work what the right model is. But we pick up good hints. We see how we want to do things as a club. There's no doubt we're adjusting our model at the ground and some of the facilities that we offer to supporters and to visitors to make sure we're going to be in the top half of the pack in terms of its way we do things.
Has there been anything that's really stuck out for you in an away ground, like something you really liked? I mean, Pete and I couldn't believe it when we were commentating at Dulwich and they were giving us their salmon sandwiches and beers and everything. So we were quite happy, like, let alone you.
Well, exactly. That's the point. You know, we hosted Ebbsfleet, you know, on Tuesday, and we had, I don't know, 15 of their 15 visitors into the club boardroom, and we hosted them, we looked after them. It's not what you would experience in all clubs, but Dulwich is another great example that would provide the same level of hospitality that you enjoyed. Yeah. I mean, obviously hospitality is a very small part of the whole thing, but we are seeing huge variances, and we just know we want to be in the top half, top quarter of what's offered generally around the grounds.
So talk about hospitality, Barry, before we wrap up this little chat. Obviously, we sat at the first, I think, home game or last pre-season friendly interviewing you for the first podcast, and the fan zone had just opened. It's a nice new fan zone behind the shed end. And obviously, you told us about the plans. There's plans to put a shelter in place over the winter. Obviously, none of that has happened yet. And we now understand it is from funding. And also, since then, you've also announced that you've retaken the lease of the gym, and it was split to produce another sort of area for fans to drink. What's the latest update of that? Because obviously it's gone very quiet. We're in the very cold winter months now where it is raining and stuff. So, you know, and sometimes we know the bar shuts early for an event, but their fan zone's open. But because of the weather, it's not the nicest place to stand when it's cold or rainy. So what's the latest going to happen? When's sort of we going to see any movement on those?
So when we put our plans together for this season, we really wanted to focus on a couple of things. First, to make sure the experience of our supporters on a match day was a better one than last season. So reducing those queues was key, as was a better food offering. And I think the queues is a classic example of the work Paul and his team have done in making sure people wait as little as possible for a drink or a bite to eat. And we're really pleased with the outcome of that. And I think the fan zone has made a big difference, as you say. On the actual fan zone and its development there, what's happened between those plans originally being set out and now is that we have managed to secure, as you quite rightly said, James, the Woodside Road Clubhouse, as we call it. We've got that back into our tenure, which means that although we'll still share with the gym, half of that room will be ours on a permanent basis. And on a match day, the whole of that room will be available to us. So we've had to reset our thinking because the opportunity that now presents means maybe we don't invest as heavily in the outside bar because we can provide much more internal accommodation from the Woodside Road Clubhouse itself. So there's a project at the moment going on, pricing it up, including a new bar to go into the club, the Woodside Road Clubhouse, how that will work alongside the fan zone. A lot of thinking's going on at the moment. So I would imagine that project's going to be concluded by the summer of next year, built and done. That's my aim, is for that clubhouse to be sorted. In the meantime, we can still use it. So if it's cold and wet, Paul has the opportunity to give you news, the clubhouse. And people could still buy a drink under a bit of cover from the fan zone. We'll put that back up and then go and sit in the clubhouse and have their drink in the dry. And that's something we'll probably be putting into place in the next few weeks.
So it's a long-term sort of aim for the clubhouse to have it open more nights of the week, that somewhere you sort of could be a community hub that you could get groups meeting, you could have events on. Is that what the club are hoping?
Well, it's going to be basically a hospitality area for different types of events, whether that's match day or weekdays or evenings at the weekends for events and functions. So we have that, we will have that, and we will have the bar under the stand as well. So the combination, we're going to have to work out how they work together, what we do in which room. But doubling up our capacity to do things is going to be huge and a key part of our ability to raise more income for the club, which will naturally go back into building the club and the budgets.
And would the boardroom be built into this new area, or is that part of the plan that's happening, or is the boardroom going to stay separate?
I think we'll probably keep the boardroom where it is at the moment, but we'll link it through knocking some walls down.
Yeah.
Into the main building area, so it's not detached and can benefit from some of the services. Yeah.
And the old outdoor bar, Barry, that's not really been opened at all this season. What are the plans for that? Because sometimes when it is busy, I personally think, and a couple of us do think it would be useful to have open. I understand with staffing issues, it's not as easy. It's easier said than done. But is that kind of shut down now for good, or what's the sort of plans for that area?
Well, with the outset of the new fan zone bar, which we actually put six staff in, we really didn't have a need to serve from the main, the old bar, which had a single queue. It was just not efficient. So we've ditched the bar for, as it stands, a single queue bar just behind the current stand bar. And I think what we'll do there is use it either for it will remain a retail outlet, but we just need to decide whether that's going to be for example, our club shop, which needs to be hosted somewhere where we can put stock, or another food outlet, or other opportunities like a box office during the week. There's lots of things that we could put in the area. Probably not one of them is going to be a bar, because we've actually done really well in increasing our bar coverage around. But I don't think it will go away. We just, again, have to work out what it is going to be and then do a proper job on making it fit for purpose.
So Amanda might finally have her club shop that she's been after for all these years.
Well, it's one of our options that we're definitely...
That'd be good. Be interesting to see. Yeah. Barry, it's been a really good chat. Thank you for joining us. Here's to the next chat, which hopefully we'll catch up. Maybe, you never know, towards the end of the season. We don't want to tempt fate, but something good could happen this season, and it'd be interesting to hear on your thoughts and the preparations of what may or may not happen later on in the season.
Yeah, happy to chat anytime, James. Happy Christmas to you and all the listeners, and we'll see you shortly.
Yeah, cheers, Barry. Happy Christmas.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
It's been some interesting things. You know, I think it's going to be really exciting to see what that front bar, the Woodside Road bar, is going to be in the future. I think it could be great.
I think everyone's itching for it, aren't they? You know, like the old days.
Yeah, I mean, he said it's going to be hopefully done by the summer. I'd quite like it now, please, Barry, because the heating right now is a little bit cold in here. But I think it's going to be open just as it is at the moment, just as a room. But it's going to be exciting to see what the club do with it, because obviously the stand bar is a nice little setup here. It's a good little layout, but it'd be good to see what they can really do with the old bar that people used to in the past.
With it sort of already kind of being tagged as like a fan zone, perhaps this is what they look, have two distinctive bar areas. So, one for the sort of quieter, sit and have a pint bit and have a chat, and the other one a bit more boisterous.
And Amanda might finally have her club shop if they decide to use that either as a ticket office or a club shop. I think she'd be buzzing for that. Ever since I've known her, all she's been on about is a club shop.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, in a nice possible way, like, towards a club, like, you're going to go to places like Dulwich, they've got a converted like shipping container. I think it looks really good.
They had loads of stuff as well.
And I think that's another place where the club might be missing out on a bit, because we do have some merch. But there could be so much more merch made. Talking about merch, I think we have to touch on it. big thanks to everyone that purchased Drop One of the Rebel Yell t-shirt range. We're going to do three this season. I think that came about as a beer influence conversation. Me and Spencer down the, where was it, Grizzly Bear?
Yeah, Grizzly Bear. Where would we be? Saturday after a game.
After Slough, I think.
Slough would be.
FA Cup game. I'd
obviously reached a certain alcoholic point where... I just had a brainwave, and it was we got the creative juices going, and we were away, weren't we?
And how long did it take us, Spence? We've got two left, which are 2XL, so we've learned about sizing.
We sold 48 t-shirts in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a t-shirt a minute.
It's not too bad. Yeah, too bad at all, is it? Like, I think I was buzzing, so thank you. We're only £10. And as long as we can keep them that, we're going to try our very best to keep them that price. Obviously, you've got to appreciate the world we live in, but we're going to try and sell them that. And all that money goes back into the club eventually. It goes towards the Sports Association. So you've helped the Sports Association invest in something in the club.
I've already seen people wearing them, and they're well chuffed with them.
I know. It's like when you were in a bar the other day and you saw someone with a nice t-shirt, and they went, what? Quite funny, actually. But thanks to everyone that supported us, and keep an eye out for Drop 2, which will be sometime next year, probably in the springtime, I'd say. We're probably going forward to autumn winter. It'd be like, you know, we'd be like, no, Mark, it'd be James and Spencer, not Marks and Spencer. You know, like autumn, winter, spring, summer watches, won't it? But no, thank you very much. And if you are interested, you are listening, we still have got two t-shirts left for £10, 2XL.
Or even if you're interested in the next ones, you know, got an interest, let us know and put your name down.
Yeah, because if you do want to, and we haven't ordered them, you get them in, we can make sure we get an extra size for you, or you put them down or something like that. But thank you very much. This is the last one we're going to do before Christmas. As you know, it's been an exciting year, Spencer, full of promotions and celebrations. I mean, it's crazy to think what's gone on in the club this year.
It's been a crazy, crazy year, you know, what the club have achieved and where we've come.
What's your highlights? I mean, it's got to be the celebrations after lifting the trophy.
It's got to be Bowers and Pitsy.
Get off the pitch.
Bowers and Pitsy.
And then taking the trophy.
That day away. And then
taking the trophy down to the Vic to see Big C waiting at the traffic lights. The level crossing for about half an hour because we wouldn't get across. And Bowers. And then when we actually won the trophy.
The trophy was the final
trophy
game.
Trophy lift against.
Just thought about this a bit more. Who was the last?
It was Hornchurch. The one in the middle of nowhere.
This is
in Essex. Really. Deep, darkest Essex, near it, almost you're going to Ipswich way. Brightling Sea. That was it, yes. Brightling Sea. See, we're so not used to playing these teams below us now.
That last game with the trophy. And
Jasper scoring his final goal for the club.
Taking the trophy
down. That goal that Jasper scored for his final goal of the club, the one that won us the title and did. I mean, he likes to show off, doesn't he, Jasper?
And then, you know, more recent, they haven't gone. Yeah, there's been some. Yeah, it's been some highlights.
What about your players? Like the players, I think this season, Josh Chambers on loan stood out like a sore thumb, really. It's like one of the standout. And I'm thinking so far this season, since he's been injury free, Kane Wills, he has just added so much to that midfield. I think he performs game in, game
he's
out.
He's the powerhouse, the driving force.
And you can tell his experience from being at the National South really helps the team.
And can I put a word in for Harrison as well?
Harrison,
man. I say it pretty much every game to somebody. But I don't think he won player of the month this month, but you know, I don't think he gets the recognition he really deserves, the amount of saves and times he keeps us in games. Yeah.
And you know, at the beginning of the season I did put a little poke down on our little notes here saying like people were worried about Jesse Starkey obviously not being in the team, and there was that obviously rumour that he was gonna come back some part of the season, but he hasn't come back yet. We don't know what's going on with him. Do you think he's missed? Do you think we've missed him? And not putting a disservice to him because he was an important, integral player, part of the squad next season. And would he slot in if he did come back now, do you think?
Yeah. There's been a few that, you know, key players from that promotion winning team who have gone, who've, you know, of course we've missed them. You know, they've done us great service, been brilliant players. But then, you know, on the other hand of that, we've brought in some great players as well, you know. You know, you can say Stark is gone, but we've brought in Wills, we've brought in Chambers. You know, obviously we had Jasper go on to bigger, better things. But then we've brought in Lewis White. Lewis White's been really impressive.
How weird was it seeing Jasper in a Wickham show? Well, me and Spencer got invited along to see Wickham Charlton by Jasper earlier in the season. He's on loan down the road at Dorking at the moment, but you know, he's always a top guy. He's often listening to our commentary as well. I don't know if I've ever said that. He often tunes in upstairs. You hear Jasper's tuned in for the night when he's not playing at Wickham, but you know, fair play. And as we say, it's just a pathway here at Worthing that the club love to do.
Yeah. And in a way, we look forward to the next one, but hopefully it's not too soon.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, hopefully. It's time for Christmas. I'd just like to wish all the Rebel Yell listeners a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year into 2022, a happy, healthy 2023. Thank you for supporting the podcast, the commentary every week, our sponsors, MK Window Cleaning and Price Jones Electrical for their continued support, and people that just listen. And, you know, how nice is it when we were selling those T-shirts, people coming up to us, goes, oh, you guys are the podcast.
You're the guys who did the podcast. Yeah. Always, it's a podcast.
Yeah, and it's so nice. Because we don't do it for the recognition or integrity. We just literally do it because we enjoy doing it.
We don't know who's listening, do we? So it's really great people come up, speak to us and say they're listening in and enjoy it. And, pass on the word.
But thanks for your continued listening and support of us, and continue it through the next year and beyond. And who knows, Spencer, could we be in a promotion run again? Yeah, could we be talking about this time next year sitting pretty in the National League?
James is getting ahead of himself,
carried away.
He's been quite restrained so far.
I think it's the cold tonight is keeping me under covers and under wraps. But Spencer, it's been a pleasure. Maybe we'll get Pete on the next one.
Who?
What's his excuse next time? Cold this time, his foot might get chopped off next time. So, I mean, I have to go around, pick him up, force him in the back of the car next time. But, Pete, I hope you feel better. I'm sure we'll see you. Sure see you at the weekend or next week or whatever. And if you're listening to this, it's coming home.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.